Listener discretion is advised as f**k.
I was born with the devil in me. I could not help the fact that I was a murderer, no more than the poet can help the inspiration to sing. I was born with the evil one standing as my sponsor beside the bed where I was ushered into the world, and he has been with me since.
What's going on, Wi-Fi and data users, and welcome to the Professionally Silly Podcast. And if you're new here, I'm your audible boo thing, Amber Smiles Jones, and shit's about to get real. This is the podcast you can experience the internet in all its glory audibly. Yes, we discuss a lot of random things here: ghost stories, true crime, hilarious news stories, and things that make you go, "What the fuck?" You know, first things first, let's open up my beer. Fuck, I'm thirsty. Stella Artois. I hope that you guys are doing okay during this insane coronavirus scare. And not even a scare, it's real, it's terrifying. There's a lot of things going on in the world right now. We got asteroids flying around, you know what I'm saying? I heard Oprah may have gotten arrested for child trafficking, and fuck, you know, Trump is still saying shit, and there's just things happening. So let me sip this. That's what I needed. There are things happening. So tune in with me and let's try to block all that shit out for an hour or so. How about that? Yeah. All right. So first things first, I'm going to go ahead and shout out my listeners, new and returning. And I appreciate you guys letting me molest your ear canals with my melanated golden voice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Last week, we talked about some of the weirdest Craigslist ads, just hilarious ones. I don't know if you guys have ever just go through Craigslist, but people post the most random shit on there. It's just no shame at all. None, you know. My fave used to be the misconnections section. I used to love that, where people would try to find others that they thought maybe they shared a moment with, you know, the kind of "I saw you from across the room" thing. You know, I felt something. Did you feel something too? Kind of bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, yeah, you know, meaning I was staring at you. Did you see me staring? That's pretty much what they, and the moments that they share, excuse me, they're always like just random as fuck, you know, like, "Hey, I saw you on the bus. You had purple hair and a white cat in your book bag. I like the way you tied your shoes. If that was you, I'd like to buy you a beer and maybe strangle you to death later." I mean, that strangle you to death later is like in the fine print. You have to be really careful with Craigslist. Ugh, the joys of Craigslist. Okay, so this week, thank you, Stella. This week, we are going to jump into some true crime. That's right, bitches. We're going to talk about some murder. But we're going to go back in time to the 1800s to a tiny little town that I like to call Chicago. No, it's actually a super big ass, amazing city, but they also have a sinister past thanks to the man that is known as America's first serial killer, aka Devil in the White City, aka H.H. Holmes. Yep. I said a lot of letters of the alphabet just now, aka H.H.H. It's just a lot. I'm sorry. So yeah, the 1800s, what a wonderful time to be alive, I guess. I don't know. But it was definitely a time of transition. I'll give you that. America was learning pretty much how shit worked. You know, doctors started to do... It's not Corona. Shut up. I choked on my spit. Hold on, just listen to this whole music. Well, I'm back. I have learned how to swallow my own saliva, so there's that. So where were we? Oh, yes, we were talking about the 1800s. Ah, the 1800s. You guys remember back then? Yeah, we were all there. So, as I was saying, the 1800s was a time of transition. You know, America was learning how shit worked. You know, doctors started to do more than look at you and tell you that you have polio. And, oh, great. Someone smoked. The alarm is going off. Okay. All right, back to it. You know, so doctors would look at you and they would tell you that you have polio or you've got cholera or you've got dysentery or whatever horrible shit that people died from back then. It was just, here, drink this burning hot black oil. It'll cure you, you know. It's just shit like that. Go outside when it's cold as fuck outside and just stand there naked. The fresh air will fix your lung cancer. Just crazy shit. You know, things have definitely changed just a bit, just a tad medically. And that transition was happening during the late 1800s. So, you know, cheers to the late 1800s. I might be a little tipsy. Okay. Now, I'm sure that my true crime homies probably know all about him, or at least have heard of H.H. Holmes, but I wouldn't be lying if I said I didn't have a few question marks about the guy myself. I've heard the stories regarding him and what he built, but I wasn't completely certain about everything. So the research for this episode was interesting for me. By the way, shout out to Wikipedia, Britannica, Murderpedia, which once again is a real thing, YouTube, and crimemuseum.org. Appreciate you guys because those are the sites that I used to research for this. So fuck yeah. And in case you guys weren't aware, essentially a podcast is homework. You know, so yeah, writing book reports in school led me to my semi-successful podcasting career. All tens of my followers appreciate my book reports, damn it. I don't care what anybody says. Okay, so Holmes was about 5'8 with dark hair, blue eyes, and about 155 pounds. Now, some say he was handsome, but it was the 1800s. Honestly, if you were still alive and made it past 20, you were the shit. You know, like, didn't take much. You know what I'm saying? If for some reason God decided to spare you from, you know, dysentery or some shit, you had a few bucks, or maybe you owned some land. Oh, yeah. If you were a landowner, all the bitches came a-running, all right? So H.H. got a lot of bitches, I must say. Killed most of them, but, you know, he was pulling in some bush. And when I say bush, I mean bush. You know, 1800s. But, you know, to him, I guess he was, like, average, dark, and handsome. I mean, 5'8 ain't really that tall. I'm 5'7 myself, so, yeah, I don't know. That moment when you find out a serial killer is 1 inch taller than you. I feel a little less than. Damn it. All right. So, oh, by the way, while I was doing my research, I came across this article. Have you guys ever heard the rumor that Meghan Markle could be related to H.H. Holmes? Yeah, I saw this article on mentalfloss.com. while I was doing this research, and there was this show on Britain's Channel 4 called Meet the Markles, and it was discovered on the show that Meghan might be related to H.H. Holmes. Now, that's kind of crazy. His name was Jeff Mudgett, and he appeared on the show talking about this. He even believes that H.H. Holmes is also Jack the Ripper, which is complete fucking bullshit. I mean, they were both assholes. you know, but they were two different assholes, I feel like. But anyways, he appeared in the show talking about it, and a guy named Alvin Ward wrote this article on mentalfloss.com back in May 2018, but a lot of people wrote about it. And it says, and I quote, "The claim comes from Holmes' great-great-grandson, American lawyer Jeff Mudgett." And you guys will soon learn that H.H. Holmes, his real name, his last name was Mudgett, which is really unfortunate. But it says, "American lawyer Jeff Mudgett, who recently discovered that he and Markle are eighth cousins." If if that connection is correct, then it would mean that Markle too is related to Holmes. So that's a quote taken from the article there. Obviously, I don't know if any of that is true, but it was a very interesting read. It was. And I gotta say, you know, her DNA has been so famous over the last few years. You know, that's what happens when Negroes get into the palace. You gotta check out your DNA. Like, goddamn, you know. By the way, if you guys are listening to this podcast on an Apple device, hook me up with 5-star rating, please, and a written review on Apple Podcasts, and I will be sure to share your review here on Professionally Silly Podcast. And by the way, leaving those 5 stars and leaving those written reviews, it actually does help others discover, you know, how awesome my professionally silliness is. Because like the more reviews you get, the easier it is for others to discover your podcast. Also, guys, if you want to join in on the silly, you know what I'm saying? And you have the Anchor app, you can hit me up there, or you can call/text my Google Voice number as well. So hit me up! My Google Voice number is down below in the show notes. I don't know why I'm talking like that. Before we get started with this asshole serial killer, I have some information for those of you that want to start their own podcast with your voice, your ideas, and your creativity. You know what I'm saying? All those things are perfect for a podcast. So, yeah, tell the world what you got to say. You feel me? All right, pro silly listeners, let's get all up in it. Okay, that sounded a little weird. Okay, so serial killer stuff. So H.H. Holmes confessed to killing 27 people, but police could only confirm 9. But that isn't even the tip of the iceberg. He actually built an entire building that was made for him to trap, torture, and murder a lot of people. So yeah, shit is about to get real, guys. Buckle up, bitches. Okay, let's do this. First off, his real name was Herman Webster Mudgett, which, can we be honest, his name didn't really instill fear upon hearing it, all right? So he was born May 16th, 1861 in Gilmanton, New Hampshire. I hope I said that right. Shout out to all you tourists out there, I guess. Woo, May babies. And he was the 3rd child born in his family out of 5 kids. And God, his parents are busy. It's been difficult to prove certain things that happened in his life because he was a notorious liar, con artist, and all over human piece of shit. That's my quote. Anyways, his father, Levi Mudgett, who clearly had the better name in the family thus far, worked as a farmer and tradesman, and his mother's name was like Theodate Price. It's like Theodore, but replace the R with a T. It's weird. When I read that name, I legit thought it was a typo. I was like, let me just check these other sites here. Oh, this is her name. Okay. Moving on. So they were a very religious Methodist family, which is always nice. A creepily overly religious family. Nothing can go wrong here. Everything's good. I'm sorry, but overly religious people scare the shit out of me. No, terrified. But it was said that his father, Levi, abused him. Plus, it didn't help that his dad was hella strict. Thank you, Stella. I'm gonna say that every time I take a sip. His dad was really strict, you know, and it's said that his father used to lock him up in the attic. So that's creepy. Attics are dark and dirty. Who wants to be up there, you know? So anyways, little Mudgett was bullied as a kid, and let's be honest, that usually leads to hell on earth for others later down the line. So, you know, these kids these days, they get bullied and they want to shoot up their schools and shit. I remember when I was a kid, you got bullied, you just wrote really aggressive poetry or something. At least that's what I did, you know. I don't know. Kids today are horrifying as fuck. I'm terrified of anyone from the age of 0 to 16. You guys freak me the fuck out. Shit, grow up. Anywho, so little Mudgett, he was bullied as a kid, you know, and it's said that a bunch of kids knew that he was afraid of skeletons. So there were some students who forced him to touch a human skeleton at the local doctor's office that they broke into, because, you know, that's what you do. And they brought him in there to freak him out, but instead it kind of turned out he was intrigued by it, just kind of staring at it and shit. Later on, realized he's like really intrigued by human bodies, which, you know, is a little creepy. And he's also like into death now, so that's also double creepy. But he did what a lot of serial killers did as kids. Yeah, he tortured and killed small animals and did experiments on them and shit, you know, as children do. I remember the last animal that I tortured when I was like 5. No, that is not something normal children do. If your kid is torturing and killing animals and shit, it is a matter of time until they move on to bigger things like fucking people. So be good parents and be like, hey, Billy, we need to go see a psychologist, psychiatrist, therapy. I don't know which one it is, but we need to see them all. Okay. I'm just, you know, food for thought. Professionally silly life rules, guys. Professionally silly life rules. All right, so, yeah, so, yeah, if you don't want your kid to grow up to be a serial killer, just pay attention to things like that, all right? Thank you, Stella. He was super smart, which is not a characteristic that I want someone serial killing to have. I'm not saying that I want to be serial killed by a dumbass either. I don't want to be serial killed, but I feel like I might have a chance if he's stupid. I might have a chance to get away, you know. Anyhow, he graduated high school at 16, managed to find a woman insane enough to marry his crazy ass. In 1878, he married this chick named Clara Lovering, I think that's how you say it, when he was about, 17. And they had a son named Robert, who was born 2 years later, which is kind of funny. The name Robert now either reminds me of Robert Irving or Irvine, I don't remember how to say his name. You know that cool British dude who has that cooking show, Restaurant Impossible? Love that dude. Either Robert Irvine or Robert the Doll. There's only two Roberts in my life, and it's them. Moving on. So anyways, Robert was born... just a lot of banter today. Banter by myself, I might add. Banter by myself. Thank you, Stella. Robert was born 2 years later after they were married. His wife eventually left him because he was abusive to her. And I mean, I myself, lucky enough to have never been abused by my parents, thank goodness. Knock on wood, they're still kicking. They could still probably kick my ass if they wanted to, but thus far, it's been good. It's been good. But a lot of abusees, I don't know, people who are abused, sometimes, not all the time, can turn to be the abusers themselves, you know, so... if he was indeed abused as a child, then it's not completely surprising that he's doing it as an adult to his wife. So, but like, again, not all, some. Okay, so don't email me bullshit. Or yeah, email me. I could use some entertainment there. All right, so then he lived between New York and Philadelphia for some time. And after his wife left him because of all the abuse, he was like, fuck it, I'm going to live between New York and Philadelphia for some time. And he started working as a certified public accountant. And let me just say this real quick, okay? And I think I've said this before, but you never truly know anyone. This dude is a public certified accountant going around murdering people. Like, that's some shit. Your H&R Block dude could be a fucking serial killer. It's tax season, so be careful, bitches. Just be careful. But you don't really know anyone. Your parents, your siblings, your neighbors, your boo thing, whoever. Everyone is capable of anything at any time. So, hope you guys are enjoying your lovely evening. Okay. So, he was, H.H. Holmes was, or Mudgett is his real name, Mudgett. He was pretty obsessed with skeletons and death, which is why he started to study medicine in Vermont for about a year at the University of Vermont. He was accepted into the University of Michigan Medical School, the Department of Medicine and Surgery, to be exact. He was like on his Grey's Anatomy swag. Can you imagine H.H. Holmes as a character on Grey's Anatomy? That would be hilarious. If he's as attractive as they claim he is or whatever, I guess he could have been like a Dr. McStabby. I don't know. You know, that was a fun bit. Let's move on before it gets stupid. stupid. By the way, guys, Grey's Anatomy, before it was a TV show, was actually a book about human anatomy called Grey's Anatomy. I think it was spelled differently, though. It was like the last name Grey instead of the color gray or some shit. I don't know. Look it up. I don't have time. So, and if you want to hear something fucked up, which you do because you're here, Holmes would steal cadavers from the laboratory at his medical school, and he would disfigure them horribly, you know, or sometimes, you know, burn them somehow, and then he would put the bodies in places to make it look like they were killed in an accident. But it didn't stop there. He would then actually take out insurance policies on these cadavers before he let them before they were found, which is really, really creepy. And then he would collect the money once the bodies were discovered. So, thank you, Stella. That is some crazy shit. I wish I had a bitch here named Stella handing me sips of beer. That would be kind of cool. I'm just saying. Yeah, I should get a Patreon so you guys could fund for that. The only two Stellas in my life is Stella Artois and that bitch Stella from Stella Got Her Groove Back. You know, that's my shit. All right, moving on. So, lost my place, getting money. Got it. Okay. So, he would collect the money once the bodies were discovered. Now, this is the, you know, 1800s, so it was the perfect fucking scam. No DNA. Everybody was stupid. Nobody looked into anything. There was no reason. You could just leave a state or a city and just be like, hi, my name is Sally, and now you're Sally. You didn't have to prove who you were. It was just so easy. So easy, you know? So police back then also weren't that great either. You know, crime was pretty easy to get away with if you were smart. As long as you weren't a stupid criminal, it was pretty easy to get away with shit. It really was. You know, just keep moving. Anyways, after he graduated from medical school, he moved to Chicago and worked at a pharmacy. While in Chicago, he lived the life of a con artist and a good one at that. Speaking of con artists, he married two more times after his first wife, whom he never actually got a legal divorce from. So that motherfucker was a bigamist. Is that the right word? Whatever, I don't have time. I am not a professional, okay? If you're expecting facts and words that have... for me to use words with the meanings that they're supposed to have, then you've come to the wrong podcast, madam, sir, or whatever you identify as. Okay, so where are we? Okay, so he married two more bitches after his first wife. And here's something that I didn't mention before. All three of his wives were from wealthy families. Bitches had money, okay? He had another child with one of his wives. And get this, he never actually divorced his first wife, like I said, the first time, okay? I wanted to remind you of that. He's a bigamist! No? Okay. Yeah, you didn't fall for that? For some reason, I wrote that down twice. I don't know why. Thought I could fool you. You guys are smart. So back then, you could say that you weren't married and there was no way to really check that. There was no computers. You know what I'm saying? There was no... Let me just go ahead and call this other state to... Oh, wait. We don't have phones. That hasn't been invented yet. You know, so you could just lie. You know, it was just easy. No computers. So right before he moved to Chicago, he worked at a drugstore in Philadelphia. We're going back in time again. Twice. And when the owner of the drugstore died, Dr. Holton, he left it to his wife to take over. Now, there are a lot of different versions of the story, but this is the one I like the most. When the owner of the drugstore died, he left it to his wife to take over, but Holmes convinced her to let him buy the store. So apparently she went missing and no one ever saw her again. So Holmes claimed that she moved to California, but it was never actually verified. And I'm telling y'all, if this part of the story is true, he killed that bitch just like all the others. I'm telling you, that is what happened, okay? Now, while he was working at the pharmacy, a young boy died after taking medicine that was purchased at the same store that Holmes worked in. Now, of course, he denied having anything to do with the young boy's death, but, you know, that motherfucker was probably guilty. Now, some say that he never killed the owner of the store or his wife. According to Wikipedia, which is a very trusted site, like all of the internet is, Dr. Holton also went to the University of Michigan and was a few years older than Holmes. I don't know if there's apparently there's proof of that they went to the same school, but fuck, it's a big school. It's possible. You know what I'm saying? But what I originally said earlier was creepier, so we're just going to go with that. So Holmes, he changed his name. Before he became Mudgett, his name was Mudgett originally, he changed his name to Henry Howard Holmes, which is how we got to know him as H.H. Holmes. He wanted to avoid being caught scamming people, so he actually had a lot of aliases that he had. He ended up with purchasing an empty lot across the street from the same drugstore that he now owns. And the crazy thing is he sold that drugstore to a guy in his family for like a crazy price. That he actually hired people to pretend to be customers in the store, sold this drugstore, thinking the business was great, everything was fantastic, everything was Gucci, except it fucking wasn't, okay? Because when he went home, when the dude that bought the building went home to get his family, he returned and everything inside the drugstore was gone. All the fancy fixtures, all the drugs, all the furniture, everything was gone. Everything. So then Holmes, the lovely asshole that he is, decided to purchase the empty lot across the street from the drugstore, like I said just now. And he decided to build a three-story building, which the neighborhood called the Castle, because it was big as fuck. And it pretty much covered about a block, I believe, like a block radius. And so on the first level, they had like shops, like jewelry and barber shops. And of course, the brand new drugstore directly across the street from the same place that he had just swindled this family out of all their money. You know, so like I said, he was an asshole. Now, little did the neighborhood know is that the building that he was building was something that no one would have expected. What up, ladies and gents? I've got some dope ass news that I need to drop on your domes real quick. I just downloaded this dope app called World's Greatest Videos. It allows you to create amazing videos and gives you the opportunity to win cash prizes. So join me in the global video contest. Download the app, World's Greatest Videos, upload videos of your choice and shoot your shot to win some cash. There's nothing to lose and only fun to gain. Okay, so in 1889, Holmes hired many construction crews but fired them only after a few weeks of work. He did this so that no one would ever have a clear idea of what he was building. Now, he would come up with reasons, oh, you didn't do this right. Oh, you're fired. You know, he would find ways to have to let them go. He didn't pay people. It was just crazy. He found a way to get everything he needed and wanted with as minimum payment as possible. I don't think he paid anything. And I'm talking like over 400 different people worked on this structure. He was designing a murder castle, and he didn't want people to know what he was truly planning. Now, let me back it up just a smidge, y'all, okay? HH, you know what? Let's call him Triple H now, okay? Now, I know that's an iconic WWE wrestler, but just for funsies, all right? So Triple H was a freaking scam artist. He was, like I said, he was a con man. And people around him would just randomly disappear, and he would claim their life insurance with several different fake identities. Now, I do believe that this is how he was able to fund his murder castle and many other things that he was doing. Now, don't forget, he also was stealing cadavers from medical school and setting them up as accidental deaths and claiming the life insurance on those bodies as well. So, shit was wild. It was just a bad time to be alive if you knew him. That's pretty much what that was. So he built a 3-story hotel on the corner of 63rd and Wallace Street in Chicago. And I mean, this place was massive. It took up an entire block. Okay. And it was opened for the World's Columbian Exposition in 1893. So in 1893, guys, we're talking about a long time ago, over a century, all right? Chicago hosted the World's Fair, which is a cultural and social event that celebrated the 400th anniversary of Columbus discovering America. It attracted people from all over the world, which, you know, screw Christopher Columbus. Let's just go ahead and say that right now. If you know your history, he's nothing to celebrate. You know, you understand why I say that if you know history. But the World's Fair was a big deal at the time, very similar to the Olympics now. In 1889, the World's Fair was in Paris, and that is where they revealed the Eiffel Tower. So clearly, Chicago wanted to be the next location for the World's Fair. It was a big deal. And there were 3 cities at the time that that ended up being in the running for the World's Fair to be in their city, St. Louis, New York, and of course, Chicago. Now, Chicago was bustling at the time, definitely one of the most busiest and just growing cities in the Midwest. It was a lot going on. A lot of drifters, a lot of people traveling there. It was crazy, you know, and the World's Fair brought in millions of people. Now, people traveled there by train every day to settle there. But once again, it was the 1800s. So I'm sure the entire city smelled like a slaughterhouse wrapped up in a bouquet of urine scent with a slight overbearing smell of animal shit. Ah, the 1800s. I'm over myself. Okay, so let's break down this building a bit. Okay, so the first floor, the ground floor, had various shops, retail spaces, like I said before, and he relocated his drugstore directly across the street because, you know, grade A asshole. And the other two upper levels included his, you know, lots of office space, workspace, and hundreds of rooms that people could rent, you know, rental space, apartments, things like that. But some of the rooms were extremely creepy as fuck. Some of the rooms were soundproof. There were secret passages, lots of hallways and mazes of staircases everywhere. Some staircases led nowhere. Some doorways that opened, they opened up to brick walls. Some of the hallways led to nowhere and were angled strangely. The whole place was confusing and creepy as fuck. I mean, I'm talking hundreds of windowless rooms with doors that can, you know, that can only be opened and locked and unlocked from the outside. Some rooms had chutes that dropped down to the basement. Vats of acid there waiting once you fall down these chutes. He also, Triple H also had quicklime and a crematorium down there to help him dose of the bodies, trap doors, peepholes in weird places, hidden slides and chutes that I said before that led directly to his office and workstation. He had gas chambers, you know, a room that was, there was a room that was filled with different torture devices that he designed himself. In the basement, he had a surgical table where he would dissect people and remove their flesh. Then this asshole would sell their organs to the black market and sell their skeletons to medical institutions, you know, and he took the words con man and scam artist to a whole new fucking level. He pretty much traveled throughout the entire country scamming as many people as he fucking could. That's what he did, you know, and he was able to do all of this because he would bring in new contractors and no one would be able to piece together what he was building. Thank you, Stella. So sweet. Which by no, you know, which means no one would be able to report him to the police because no one really knew what was going on. Now, Triple H was smart as fuck, okay, but in a creepy way. He placed several ads in the newspaper to advertise his new creation as a place for lodging. His need for employers. But he also was looking for young women to employ. That was what he really wanted. And the fact that he was a wealthy, we'll say quotes, wealthy looking man looking for a wife. He had this big ass hotel that took up a block. He dressed nicely. He looked all right. You know what I mean? So, yeah, bitches was thirsty and he fucking knew it. You know? So the newspaper was really busy with Triple H, him looking for a bitch through the newspaper and employees. Yeah, he was busy. Now, he would make his employees get life insurance and then make him the beneficiary, which is in fucking sane. And it was like a stipulation of employment. Like, you can't work for me unless you have a life insurance policy that I'm the fucking beneficiary of, all right? I don't give a shit All right, that is a stipulation of employment. So, yeah, that's insane, you know. And he was able to attract a lot of hotel guests with very low prices because, you know, fuck, people like to save money. I know I do. Shit. He also offered female guests work while they were at the hotel. So if you were like, oh, I can't pay, he was like, oh, well, I know a certain way you can pay off your debt. Let me murder you. That's a great way, I guess. I don't know. But he would convince a lot of his female workers and guests that he cared about them and gain their trust. Then he would tell them that he'll marry them if they switch their properties over to his name, which I have to be completely honest with you, I think that's stupid as fuck, and I'm surprised anyone fell for that. I am. But I guess, you know, at this time, women were like, most of them were just scouring the earth looking for a rich man to take care of them. I mean, women were starting to gain their independence at this time, but for the most part, we was like, dick, money, land, I'm happy. You know, so, I mean, shit, that's how it was. I'm so fucking simple. Now, I understand it's a different time, and these women did think that he was extremely wealthy, but maybe they thought he was their way out. It's not like life was fantastic in the 1800s, you know what I mean? But I'm thinking if they had property already, you know what I'm saying, then what the fuck do they need him for? So a lot of question marks here. It's like, why am I going to sign over my property to you just so you'll marry me? That makes no fucking sense. But, you know, I'm one of those smarter ladies out there. Yeah, I ask questions. All right, so then this evil jackass would take out life insurance on them using fake identities. And he would, of course, kill them, kill them to death. He would kill them to death. That it makes no sense. I don't know why I wrote that. But he would kill them in his death hotel. Oh, that's what I was trying to say. And there was just no commas there. And get rid of the body. And then he would then cash in on their life insurance. On the life insurances. Now, he even tried to set the building on fire at one point to claim the insurance money. But they didn't believe him. So they didn't give him no fucking money. Now, lucky for him, the building didn't burn completely down, so he could continue his murderous spree. Ugh, that lucky bastard. Now, it was investigated, and Triple H got scared, and he left the city. Now, later on down the line, but not too much later, he met this guy named Benjamin Peitzel. He wasn't the smartest tool in the shed. He had a criminal past, but he wasn't a murderer or anything like that. He was just a tool. Just one of those guys who just kind of joins in, blends in with the crowd. He was khaki. He was just khaki. All right. So Peitzel decided to help him scam insurance companies. You know, they went on a little criminal spree together. And once the World's Fair ended, Chicago's economy wasn't doing too well. So Triple H decided to leave his death murder castle behind and focus on insurance scam, you know, looking up, you know. So he went to Fort Worth, Texas. And if you remember my podcast episode about death row inmates' last meal requests, remember that episode? You never, ever, ever commit a crime in Texas then or now because they have the death penalty and they love to fucking use it. Okay? They love it. Anywho, he inherited a property, he inherited property from two railroad heiresses who were sisters. He promised to marry one of them and ended up killing both of them. So there you go, which means he got them to sign over their property to him first because that's how Triple H rolls. You know, I'm sheen. So from there, he traveled through the United States to Canada. And there is no evidence that he killed anyone on his travels, but it is said that he killed over 200 people. Now, finally, In 1894, he was arrested for the first time for stealing horses and then taking them all the way to St. Louis and selling them motherfuckers. That's what he did. He sold those motherfuckers. Now, I don't know why it came out on motherfuckers. He showed them motherfuckers. Shit. All right. What's that dude's name on King of the Hill? Boomhauer. You know what I'm talking about. You never know what the fuck he's saying. But while he was in jail, he figured out a whole new insurance scam with his cellmate, Marion Hedgepeth, which I gotta say, if you're gonna go into business with anyone, you just make sure it's your cellmate. Make sure it's your cellmate. And also, Marion Hedgepeth, did the 1800s just not give a shit about names? Like, what the fuck? No wonder these kids were bullied. Look at these names. God. All right. Anyway, these two fools came up with a bright idea to take out an insurance policy for $10,000, and Holmes would fake his own death. He would fake his own death and to hook up Marion with $500 in exchange for hooking him up with a lawyer that can help them down the road if he came across any problems trying to claim this insurance money. Now, of course, when they tried this plan, the insurance company was like, this seems like bullshit, and didn't pay them anything. So Triple H decided to try a similar plan, but this time he would get his friend Benjamin Peitzel to fake his death while pretending to be someone else. So, you know, however, he actually, he pretty much killed his only friend and collected the insurance money for himself, which is pretty fucked up. Thank you, Stella. welcome back. All right, so the plan that Holmes and Benjamin had was that Benjamin would agree to fake his own death so that his wife could collect $10,000 on his life insurance policy. His wife was supposed to split that money with Triple H and, of course, Triple H's ex-cellmate Marion for the lawyer. Now, everything was supposed to take place in Philadelphia, and Benjamin was supposed to make himself appear to be an inventor using, I think the name was B.F. Perry, just some random name that wasn't his. And he was supposed to be disfigured and killed in a lab explosion. Now, Triple H was supposed to find a cadaver to be in the place of Benjamin Peitzel, but it did not go as planned. As I said earlier, you know, Benjamin, he did. You know what I'm saying? So there was a trial, and some argue that Peitzel was an alcoholic and he was experiencing depression. So, you know, clearly he killed himself. That's what they were trying to say. But either way, Triple H was able to collect the insurance policy because, you know, 1800s. And then he convinced Benjamin's wife into giving him custody of three of their five children for some insane reason. I'm sure there was a reason, but I didn't really dig too deep into that. I just would not ever give my kids to anyone. You know what I'm saying? Sorry. So, you know, I don't understand what the fuck she was doing there. But I gotta say, he was definitely the best con man probably to ever live, because I cannot imagine a mother just being like, yeah, take these kids. So he traveled with three children throughout the northern United States, as well as Canada, you know, from what I found here. Now, she still thought her husband, Benjamin Peitzel, was alive, and that he had only faked his death. But Triple H convinced her that he had to stay in hiding so that they wouldn't be found out. You know, he was also lying about her children. As far as she knew, everyone was alive and well, but that was not the case. Now, Philadelphia, you know, everybody was dead. I feel like you guys got that. Everybody's dead. Okay. So Philadelphia police along with the Pinkerton Detective Agency. They followed him and discovered the decomposing bodies of Benjamin Peitzel's children, in Toronto. So, like I said, they did. He had no idea but a Philadelphia detective was tracking him the entire time. He knew that Holmes went to Indianapolis, where he rented a cottage and was seen visiting a local pharmacy to purchase the very drugs that were used to kill Benjamin Peitzel, his old time buddy. Now, he also came across a repair shop for the use to sharpen the knives that were used to chop up the bodies before he would burn them. So there's that. They even found teeth and bits of bone that were discovered in the chimney, which is gross. which is gross. You know, so Marion, his cellmate, was pissed off that he did not receive any money in the first place. So he was like, I'ma go ahead and turn you mother sucker in, cause you didn't give me my money. So I'ma go ahead and dial 911 and be like, fuck you. You know, because that's how you get your revenge. I'm over myself. I really am. Okay, so Marion decided to tell the police what was going on about the plan of the insurance scams. And the police found Triple H in Boston and arrested him on an outstanding warrant that they had on him in Texas for stealing the horses. So when he was arrested, Chicago police decided, you know what? This is a good time to investigate and take a look at this big-ass building that he built. You know, you remember the murder castle? Yeah. So this is where they discovered all the strange and horrible things that he had done. You know, torturing and murdering people. That's pretty bad. Things were horrible in that place. Police, they even found dismembered and bodies that were so badly dismembered and disfigured that they could not even determine how many bodies were actually there. Which is just, you know? Okay, so before you know it, the investigation spread through Indianapolis, Chicago, and Toronto. It was in fucking sane. They say his victim count could have been as high as, I don't know, over 230 people based on the missing persons report at the missing persons reports at the time, as well as his own testimony in court. But they could never get a solid number because he even claimed to kill people that were still alive and people that never really seemed to exist, as if he was just trying to get the highest count, murder count that he could, or something like that. But then again, also 1800s. It was easy for people to disappear, change their names. So just because they couldn't locate these people to see if they were still alive or if they really existed does not mean that he killed them. So that makes a lot of fucking sense. yeah. So like I said, not to mention, you know, during the World's Fair, people were traveling all over the world. So it's very possible that these people never made it back home because they just didn't fucking want to go home. It's possible, you know, and because they weren't from Chicago, they may have not even been, you know, reported missing in Chicago. Like, you can't, you know what I mean? You can't just call the Chicago police, you know, when you live in fucking, I don't know, Italy, and be like, hey, man, I can't find Susan. I don't know why someone in Italy's name is Susan. There's got to be a bitch in Italy whose name is Susan. I can't find fucking Susan, Chicago. Can you guys give us a call back? Remember, 1800s, no phones. So it makes sense. All right, so the number 27 seems to be the only number that's kind of verified. It's a lot of question marks here, honestly. Now, although it was very difficult to know the exact amount of bodies that were found in the hotel because they were so badly dismembered or decomposed, it was difficult to tell how many bodies there were, which once again is gross and fucking horrible. Can you imagine the Yelp reviews at the murder hotel? Jesus Christ. One star, there was a dismembered body part in the closet. I have to give them 2 stars. Found the disembodied head in the mini fridge. A little weird, but you know. Room service was subpar. Whatever. All right. So he was put on trial for the murder of Benjamin Peitzel. Thank you, Stella. He was put on trial for the murder of Benjamin Peitzel, and he confessed to 27 murders in Toronto, Chicago, and Indianapolis. And he even admitted to attempted murders. The Hearst papers actually paid him, I think it was like $7,500 in exchange for his confessions. Now, the Hearst paper have a very interesting story as well. I'm not sure if you guys heard of Patty Hearst, but there was a whole other thing that happened in the 70s. I think it was the 70s, where like Patty Hearst was kidnapped and she got Stockholm syndrome real fucking bad and became like a political, I don't know, crazy person. I don't know. Google that shit. Maybe I'll do another podcast episode on that. All right, moving on. So he told the Hearst paper that he committed a bunch of murders. I mean, he got $7,500 in exchange for his confession. So clearly he just like, I'm going to just tell you shit. Just stuff. just stuff. By the way, the sky is black in the middle of the day. Grass is blue and cows say meow. It doesn't fucking matter, you know? So he told them that he committed these murders because he was possessed by Satan. And then sometimes he would claim that he was innocent. He would just say a lot of things. So he told so many stories and lies and that's actually one of the reasons why there are so many question marks in his case, and not just his case, about his fucking life, because he was a goddamn liar. So I everything I've said could be just a bunch of bullshit. I don't know. I mean, a lot of this has been proven. I'm not lying. Not everything I'm saying has question marks, but there are more question marks behind H.H. Holmes. That's for damn sure. All right. So lucky for us, May 7th, 1896, he was put to death at Moyam Singh Prison, which I'm sure I fucked up the name of that, which was also known as the Philadelphia County Prison. 9 days before his birthday, actually, he was hung. Now, the best part was that he was put to death by hanging. Like, I should have mentioned that. He was put to death by hanging. But the true best part was that when he was hanged? How do you past tense hang someone? I don't know. He was hung, but his neck did not snap immediately. So they say that he hung there for over 15 minutes, slowly dying, which honestly, I feel like that kind of fits the mold because of all the horrible experiments and tortures that he performed on so many innocent people. I feel like, you know, slowly dying for 15 minutes is the least that he deserved, I think. You know what I'm saying? They should have cut his dick off first and then hung him. That's just me, but you know, I'm weird and cruel. Okay, so oh my goodness. So he had a request that his body would be buried in concrete so that no one could ever dig him up and dissect his body like he had done to so many fucking people. Which, you know, fuck him. But for some dumbass reason, they decided to grant him his last request. And, you know, ugh, fuck him. Fuck him. It's a good thing that I wasn't a judge at this time, because I would have told him to go fuck himself. Plus, I'm black and female, so there's no way I would have been a fucking judge in the 1800s, honestly. Just no fucking way. I think the land that the murder castle sat on, 63rd and Wallace, I think it's a post office now, so there's that. If you can't get there, that's fine. Check out Google Earth. I'm sure you can define that location there, and I believe it's a post office. So yeah, there's a random fact for you guys, and there's some information about America's first modernized American serial killer. So yeah, he fucking killed people. Well, if there is anything that you can take from this podcast episode, it's you never truly know anyone. You really don't. And also, serial killers are assholes. Professionally silly life rules. I'm trying to educate y'all, okay? I certainly hope that you guys enjoyed this creepy and weird episode of Professionally Silly. Triple H was such a prick. I just want to throw that out there. And there's so much more info out there about him. He wrote some memoirs himself. So if you want to get his books or his memoirs, you can. There's so much stuff on him. YouTube is littered in his bullshit. Love it. You know, I just pretty much touched on the best parts, honestly. You know, the research for this episode was insane. So I certainly hope that you will show your support by hooking your girl up by leaving me 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That'd be fire. And that'll actually, like I said before, it'll actually help me get my podcast out there to those who haven't yet heard of Professionally Silly yet. So that'd be dope. I'm just a squirrel in your world trying to get a nut, baby. So hook me up with some nuts. You know, meaning help me share my kick-ass podcast with a friend. All right. That came out wrong. I heard it. Leave me alone. And don't forget, to leave a review anywhere that allows you to review this podcast, especially Apple Podcasts. You know what I'm saying? Let's show them that a solo podcaster can do it too. Okay, we out here alive and kicking, entertaining motherfuckers by ourselves with no one to bounce shit off of. It's all me, honey. Keep it 100. All right, let me stop being so extra. All right, so also, guys, if there is a podcast out there that you like, do that podcaster a favor and leave them a 5-star review for their podcast on Apple Podcasts as well. Because let me tell you something, it makes our fucking day to know that our listeners are not only listening, but they're enjoying what they're listening to. We love that shit. It's a visual validation that every content creator wants to fucking experience. So don't hold out. Give that to me. Give that to us, you know? They want to know that their research and hard work, sacrifice, and creativity isn't only appreciated, but also enjoyed, you know? So yeah, there are so many amazing podcasts out there. So you know, just click that little magnifying glass search button thingy and just go ham. Go ham. Oh, and guys, send in your ghost stories, true crime stories, alien stories, confessions, embarrassing moments, whatever you got. I am hoping to do some listener stories in the future, listener story episodes in the future. And you can be anonymous if you want. Just let me know. My email is below in the show notes, or you can hit me up on my Google Voice, call or text, leave me a message. That would be fucking dope. I've got one story so far. I will most likely share that one next week, but I'm hoping eventually to be able to do a whole podcast episode solely from listeners and things that they want to share. That'd be great. Check out the show notes down below for some bonus info, like my social media information. I've got TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. I've got a YouTube channel also called Professionally Silly, which is very different from this podcast. On my channel, Professionally Silly, I just started a new series on it called Paranormal Blacktivity, which you get. I'm black, hunting ghosts. You feel me? There you go. Not a lot to figure out there. You know, it's been a lot of fun. I have had some very interesting experiences. So make sure you guys check out Paranormal Blacktivity on my YouTube channel, Professionally Silly. But we do other things there too. It's a lot of fun. Check it out. It's visually pleasing. It's visually pleasing. So if you're caught up on the silly audibly, go check me out visually. You know what I'm saying? Let's get professionally silly, baby. Once again, guys, I'm your audible boo thing, Amber Smiles Jones, and thank you so much for listening to the Professionally Silly Station here on Anchor FM, where I take my silliness seriously. So feel free to call in about any episode of Professionally Silly that you've heard through the Anchor app, or you can go ahead and call/text my Google Voice number for a chance to be featured on my podcast, 805-664-1828. Once again, 805-664-1828. And I actually have a text message coming from a listener that I want to share with you guys real quick. And it says, Demaje here. I'm only in the first story. And I'm like, yes, I'm not getting rid of my dog for nobody. That's what Demaje says. She was talking about the last podcast episode right before this one. Hilarious Craigslist ads. That was a fun episode. Take a listen to that and you'll see exactly what Demaje was talking about. Literally the very first ad I shared in that episode is what she's talking about. Thanks so much for hitting me up, Demaje. Thank you for texting. You rock, girl. I gotta be honest with you. I do hope that I have more than one listener, though. I do. Because she's the only one texting and emailing and calling in and stuff. So show your girl that you're listening, that you're feeling me. Send me a text, 805-664-1828. You motherfuckers have your phones in your hand at all times. So, you know, hook a bitch up with a text message. Until next time, my loves, watch where you step, because there are pieces of shit everywhere. Or in this case, you know, body parts. And if you're all caught up on the silly, check out these dope-ass podcast promos from a few of my favorite podcasts.
I'm your host, Taylor Renee.
And I'm Isaiah.
We're back. We're still fat and we still have fucking opinions.
And I also struggle with skinny jeans specifically, because a lot of times men's skinny jeans, the calf to ankle ratio on skinny jeans is really important.
If you have to constantly tell someone that you're not a liar, chances are you lie a lot. So I could see how you would get to, if you have to constantly say you love your body, chances are you don't love it. But you also have to think about how large bodies are seen in society,
right?
And how we would need to kind of overcompensate with us telling you that we do love our bodies, because it's hard to believe at first.
It's not my goal to inconvenience you by being fat. Like, I want you to make that clear.
It's like when you have leftovers in the fridge and you come home from work ready to eat your leftovers, just to find out that bitch ass nigga sleeping in your bed ate your leftovers.
I want to say shake and go wigs. You know, when it says it on the package that you take it out and you shake it and then you go, doesn't necessarily mean that you should do that. It means that you, you know, should put some time and energy into crafting this wig so that it feels good and it looks good on your head.
Welcome to Fat People with Opinions, bitch.
You shouldn't ever call me a fat ass Kelly Price.
Dumb and Busted has been called, quote, one of America's greatest treasures by 3 out of 3 hosts of the show.
Dumb and Busted is a weekly true crime comedy podcast with stories of exceptionally smart and insanely dumb crimes. Comedian Hunter Donaldson has hailed it as the greatest thing to come out of Portland since comedian Hunter Donaldson, who is me, also a host of the show.
Podcasters Allison Copeland and Hannah Ether praise Dumb and Busted as, quote, found on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Just more rave reviews from 2 other people who host the show.
Catch us every Thursday and follow us at Dumb and Busted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Crime you later!
Hey, true crime listeners, check out our podcast, I Said Goddamn. We're a true crime comedy podcast hosted by 2 besties who like to share messed up cases that make you say goddamn. Every Sunday, we try to one-up each other's story by sharing a horrific case the other has never heard of. Along the way, we splash in some wildly inappropriate jokes and colorful language. Listen every Sunday from any of your favorite podcast directories. Also, follow us on Twitter at ISGDPodcast or visit our website, ISGDPodcast.com.
Hey, gamer, my trusted companion, confidant, slash spirit animal. I don't know if I can convey to the audience how great this podcast is within 60 seconds. Wait, what? I mean, yeah, it's called the OD Podcast because all the information and things you may learn here may cause you overdose. What? I mean, yeah, if you come here with an open mind, heart, perspective, you'll leave with everything plus some laughter. Yeah. What? What'd you say? I mean, yeah, we talk about everything under the sun, around the sun, and in the cosmos. Yeah, that's true. Huh? What? And yeah, it's a perfect place to work on your verbal roundhouses. Damn it, I chose wisely. You heard him here, folks, all right? Here at the OD Podcast, where doses may vary, you get everything you need to become a better person and less of a jerk, all right? Come join us. We promise you'll learn and leave with something amazing. We love you. Come stay with us.